Blog Talk Radio.
By way of Blog Line, we want to thank you for coming by way of blog and for our First Fruits wonderful participants on this line who get up to give God their first fruits. So we just thank God for you. Let's go to God in prayer. Man, prayer does change. Matthew, if you've got another line open, if you would close your line. To be on the line this morning. Amen. God bless you. And let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we honor you, God.
Yes.
We thank you for the privilege of coming before you just to say, what a wonderful privilege. Oh, my God. Just allow us to come into the Holy of Holies. Oh, my God. Just to give you glory and to give you praise. We thank you for this day. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that destroys all yokes. Thank you, God, for every person on the prayer line today who come to give you glory. We praise you and give you all the adoration. I'm asking you, God, to bind the enemy on the prayer line, and that you would allow the people to come, Lord, to participate, giving me specific instructions, asking to do certain things. And I ask you in the name of Jesus that you would give them, Lord, to do those things with humility. Jesus, we haven't come to control anybody. We've just come to bring instructions that you to us. You told me to ask them if they would bring someone else to the line. I've asked them many, 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 many times. And there are some who just have not done so. God, I want to tell you as in my report to you. Not done so. But I just want to report to you that we have tried. We ask many, Lord, to release their faith and believe you for things like never before. And many have done so, but some who haven't. But I want to report to you that we have tried. Now, thank you for your blessings. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the message that you gave to me that we are trying to get out everywhere. And what would we do if we were? So, thank you for your bountiful, ultra awesome. Thank you for the wisdom that comes from you. And Lord, this day, it's your day. We decree it. We declare it. I ask you to take over this prayer line.
Lord, you lead us.
And you guide us. And you bless us. And you help us.
Praise.
And you give us grace. And give us mercy and strength. And joy in our souls. And peace in our minds.
Yes, Lord.
Mm. God, we bind the enemy. Come try to sift us as wheat. But Jesus, you told Peter that you are praying for him. I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, would you pray for me in the name of Jesus? Now, bless. Help. Give miracles on this line as people have never seen before. I'm praying for specifically for financial blessings for the people. And even for me, that you would bountifully bless them and help them and render to them financial miracles. Why? Because the enemy doesn't want them to have it. Because they will support the kingdom of God. And he wants people to have money to support his kingdom, the kingdom of the adversary. Now, but God turned it around. There have been ages and eras where Satan's people have been supported, and your people have had to try to grab here and grab there. And even many times have been put last on the totem pole when people have done other things and made them more important, but made your people last on the totem pole. God, your word says the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Let it happen for your people in the name of Jesus. Bless them bountifully. Help them and bountifully bring it to pass. Pray. Now, anybody sick, heal their bodies. Thank you for your ultra awesome miracles. Bless. And we thank you for them, and we receive them in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God, we pray. Thank you for our revival. For you have been reviving our souls. Only you, Lord, can do so. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, for the glory of God, we pray properly. And thank God. Amen and amen and amen and amen. God bless all of you on the prayer line. We do greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, you just get on my fucking nerves.
Let's take time. I don't know if y'all really believe that God is so real, because some of y'all never speak to him, but I want to ask you if you would take time to open your mouth, and because he comes into the room, you can't see him.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. He's the only one like that. Well, you can't see him, but he's more real than you are. Let's take time to speak to the Lord. Good morning, Lord. I know you're here.
Good morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Let's praise him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's praise him.
Thank you, Lord.
You owe him a praise. If you're alive this morning, you owe him a praise. Praise him.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you.
His purpose down here now, since he's been cast out of heaven, is to become the God of this earth. And when you worship Jehovah God, it defeats him in his purpose. That's why he becomes angry. Because you're not giving him the praise as he tried to get in heaven. And you're not worshiping him like he tried to get in heaven. He and one-third of the heavenly host, according to this chapter, the 12th chapter of Revelation, were cast down. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I'm reading from Revelation 12 and 9 now. So, heaven is happy because the devil's gone, but earth, whoa. Woe be unto the inhabitants of the earth and in the sea. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I got to read this other scripture that I read the other day to get y'all to see that the enemy is a big bag of wind. He's a bluff. I said he's a bluff. And he's bluffing you all the time to make you think he's so powerful. But this scripture exposes him. Revelations 20th chapter, the first verse. And I saw an angel. And what did the angel do? Come down from heaven. Mm-hmm. This angel, it says, having the key of the bottomless pit. Mm-hmm. One angel had the key, not 10 angels had the key. They would have had to divide the key in 10 ways. One angel had the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain. Now imagine, you hear the song, Break Every Chain. This chain was not broken. It was for a purpose. One angel had the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain. It was bigger than the chain that you used to. It's bigger than the chain you get from Home Depot. This chain was huge. Had to be. Because it says a great chain. Now, I don't know what the Bible means when it says great, except it's great. It's big. And it was a great chain in his hand. Now, if this angel had a great chain, and according to the word of God, it was great, he had to be a strong angel. Are y'all seeing that? Just by reading the word great and thinking about a chain that's great, and this one angel had it in his hand. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. He had the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Didn't mean that he had both hands holding the chain. He had the chain in one hand, and it was great. It was huge. Are you hearing me? All right. Then let's go. This is the 20th chapter of Revelation. What did this angel, who had to be strong, having a great chain in one hand, what did he do? Number 2, verse 2, 20th chapter. Get it if you got a Bible. Verse 2. And let me add here, and for clarity, yeah. And this one angel, I'm getting it from the first verse. And this one angel, and he laid hold on the dragon. In other words, he put his hand. He had the chain in one hand.
Her nails be looking so good.
Honey is talking. I hear you. Hey, man, we have to.
Look at these.
Praise the Lord.
Let me see if I got these up. Girl.
A great chain. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God bless you. We heard you talking, and you weren't cognizant of what you were doing, so God bless you. But this one angel, Now, what did he do? Verse 2, and he laid hold on the dragon. Now, how do you lay hold on somebody? I think you take that other hand. I think the angel took the other hand and grabbed the dragon. Now, because he had the great chain, a huge chain, in one hand. Look at verse 1. He had a great chain in his hand. It didn't say in his hands, so he had another hand free. And it's proven in verse 2. This is chapter 20, verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon. I might say this, with the other hand. Now, who is the dragon? Lord, many times if you keep reading, God will answer the question that you have, as he wrote through his servant John on the island of Patmos, this text. And he laid hold on the dragon, and the dragon is described as that old serpent. He's an old snake, knowing the old tricks. Now, right there, I stop, and I begin to let my mind get out of the box. And I'm just reading that old serpent, knowing the old tricks. And my mind immediately tells me, that's why. That's it, right there, right there. That's it, right there. That old serpent, knowing the old tricks. That's why he's trying to keep America and the whole white world from embracing the old saints. See, he's an old serpent, knowing old tricks. And the saints are older saints, and they know the old tricks of the old serpent. Did that get off? I hope that didn't get past you. This old serpent, knowing old tricks, but God has people who are senior saints who know the old tricks of the old serpent. That's why the old serpent doesn't want the older saints to be embraced. That's it right there. It's just right before your eyes. That old serpent. Yeah, he doesn't want. He's an old with old tricks. He doesn't want the people who know his tricks to be elevated, to be embraced, to be cherished. He doesn't want them to be cherished because it's the old saints, the saints who have been around, who know the tricks of the old serpent. Did y'all get it? Of the old serpent. There it is. Now, it describes in a little bit more. I go read further, which is the devil. Which is, the Bible says, the devil. And then it says, and Satan. And what did this one angel do? He bound him, talking about who? The devil, Satan, the old serpent, names for him, and he bound him. Well, how you bind people? You take that chain. What has he got in his hand? You bind people, you wrap them up. You tie their hands or feet up or put rope all the way around them. You bind them. That's why we bind the enemy in the name of Jesus this morning and cast him out of this line. Amen. Wrap him up. Amen. And something that he can't break. Why did the angel have a great chain in his hand? Because he didn't want it when he was going to use it to bind the enemy, Satan, and he didn't want the enemy to be able to break this chain. So it had to be a great chain. Put it around the enemy to make sure. Now my mind immediately jumps and I start thinking of chains and power to break chains, because I immediately cross-reference in my mind. And my mind takes me to the New Testament with Paul in prison and Silas in prison. And they prayed unto God and asked God to, they sang praises and they did prayers at midnight. And when they were put in jail, the jailer put him in the inner prison. In other words, in a more secure area than the regular prisoners were in. They were in the inner prison, and he bound them with chains. See, that's where my mind goes. He bound them with chains. Uh-huh. But at midnight, they prayed and sang praises unto God. And God, quit accusing God of being slow. You don't understand God. Because God dispatched an angel at midnight.
Yeah.
Because God heard the prayers and the praises at midnight. And he dispatched the angel at midnight. And the angel made it from heaven to earth at midnight. And the earth began to shake at midnight. And shook the chains off their hands and feet at midnight. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. So we can't accuse God of being slow, but he's on time. Amen. But broke the chains. Now let's go back to this text here. They cast him in. One angel cast him into the bottom of the pit and bound him. Bound him with what? Well, we see in verse 2 that he had to bind him with that chain because that's what he had in the hands, in the other hand, rather. He bound him with that chain, and then he put a seal upon him. Mm-hmm. That he should deceive the nations no more. Now, my mind immediately goes back to Revelations around the 6th chapter, because I know that, actually, I could go a little further in Revelations there, where there shall be a seal put on the head or in the hand of those who are have been saved and have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The seal goes there. They have been sealed by Jesus Christ. Now, there's another seal that is put upon people in the last day, and we're in the last day. You'll see this coming past. Why do you think you see all the security in the airports and security in high schools and other things? Because it's getting ready for the end time mark of the beast. Yeah, there'll be seal put in your hand, not yours, hopefully, but you understand, in the hands of people in the end time who will take the seal or the mark of the beast, which will be 666. And what is that for? That 666 is to go in your forehead, and that's why they got these ultraviolet lights, because you won't be able to see the 666 in your forehead except when you get ready to go through security. They'll have it at grocery stores. They'll have it everywhere you can name will be these security machines, and they'll be detecting the mark of the beast. I hope you're hearing me. And if you walk through that machine to get into the grocery store, they'll have a security guard, and it would probably be like a robot or sound like a robot, because when you walk through, that person or security or whatever it may be will say, "Stop! Do not come in. No mark, no mark, no mark, no mark." And it will get the attention of everybody in the store, and the other security will keep you from coming in. No mark, no mark, no mark. See, they'll keep you out of the store. And how you going to eat if you don't have any food? It keeps you from going in the store. And wherever you go, you get ready to go into some type of other type of store, and you get ready to go in there, that machine, you walk through, stop, no mark, no mark, no mark. See, it will keep you out of buying clothing, a clothing store. You get ready to go into Walmart, stop, no mark, no mark, no mark. And you can't get what you need in Walmart. Wherever you go, there will be these machines. And they just simply keep you out of buying, out of stores to buy anything because of the mark of the beast. You better get right before you better go in the first round, amen, when you're caught up to meet him in the air, amen, because it's going to be very, very difficult for people who miss the rapture. Amen. Because they're going to have it tied down where you can't eat, you can't buy anything, you can't do anything unless you take that mark. And that mark will mean that you've sold out to Satan. All right? Now, I've been trying to get around to my message today, but God had me to go that way. Amen. And let me just simply turn the curve real quickly here. What does that have to do with what would you do if you were the devil, the adversary, the enemy? Well, I would put machines everywhere to keep you from getting in if you haven't accepted Satan and had the mark of the beast. I'd have machines everywhere to keep you from coming in to buy anything. I'd have it everywhere. I'd have it at Costco's. I'd have it at Walmart. I would have it at every grocery store. I'd have it at the airport. I wouldn't let you go nowhere. You want to go to the Holy Convocation, you'd have to go to that machine. Stop! No mark! No mark! You couldn't travel there. I wouldn't. I'd have it everywhere you wanted to go, everywhere that I thought the saints would be trying to go. I'd have machines there that would stop them from coming through. Amen. And then, you see, when I'd pass laws. I hope you've seen this. I'd pass laws, and the laws would say that if anyone is caught giving food to a person who has no mark, they are to be expedited immediately, taken from their home and brought before the court, the judge, and the judge who has the mark of the beast, who is of Satan, would sentence you to prison like Paul and Silas, with chains on your hand and feet, and probably in the inner prison because you don't have the mark. I hope you see what I'm trying to show you. What would you do if you were the enemy? I would try to get every saint of God in prison so that they will not have any influence on anybody in this world, because my goal is to become the God of this world. My goal is to have people all over the world worshiping me as God over the world. That would be my goal if I were. What I'm trying to do, did you remember when I taught you how to think about what the enemy would do by giving you an example of how they do it, the army, in the army and in the navy? What they simply, how they win the battle is sit down at the table and think about what is the enemy going to do, and then they strategize against what they see he's going to do. See, that's why we have to be bought with the price of Jesus Christ, that we've got more power than the enemy. I was trying to show you that a while ago, and I'm going to go back to it real quickly here. One angel cast the enemy, the devil, that old serpent, one angel cast into the bottomless pit. And how long did he put him there? He has to stay there 1,000 years. It says till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little while, or loosed a little season. Why did he do that? In that same verse, he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. In other words, the devil ain't going to be able to say nothing. Yeah, shut him up and set a seal upon him. What is the seal? It probably says